Okay, we're up to Perek Vav, Pasuk Chof Aleph. We are in the middle of describing the Karban Pesach that was offered by the entire Klal Yisrael at this time after an absence, after a delay of 70 years. So it seems that for 70 years they did not offer the Karban Pesach. It's not clear why they did not offer the Karban Pesach 14 years ago when they resumed offering the Karbanos, the Oilois, and the Chatois. 14 years ago when they built the Mizbeach, it's not clear why they did not offer then a Korban Pesach. But here we do have a record, they offered Korban Pesach, Vayochlu v'nei Yisrael, Hashavim mihagoyla, and they ate the b'nei Yisrael who returned from the goyla, v'chol hanivdol mitumas goyi ha'aretz aleihem, and all of those that separated themselves from the contamination of the nations of the world. And we're going to see that it refers specifically to those that divorced their non-Jewish wives. There was an epidemic, a magefa of intermarriage. Okay, it's very, very hard to understand how in such a short period of time, in only 52 years, how many people actually intermarried. Okay, well, that's going to be discussed in much more detail in later parakim. So it says here that who participated in the eating of the Karban Pesach? It's those that returned and those that were nivdol. And nivdol, we'll see, refers to, here Rashi, we'll see in the moment, refers to simply from Avodah Zarah, but in a greater picture, refers to those that separated from their non-Jewish wives. Chalanivdol mitumas goyi haaretz aleihem, all those that separated from the contamination of the nations of the earth, of Lahim upon, but instead to join the Jewish people. We'll see that in the Mitzudos in a few moments. Lidroish lahashem elokei Yisrael, to seek out Hashem, the God of Yisrael. Let's see Pasuk Chof Aleph in Rashi. Rashi, v'chol hanivdol, sh'heim hagerim. So here it refers specifically, according to Rashi, as the gerim, sh'nivdolu mitumas ha'vikhovim, lidobek b'Yisrael. When it says aleihem in this Pasuk, it means to join, to attach themselves to Klal Yisrael. The Mitzudos Pasuk Chof Aleph, v'yochlu min ha'pesach, v'chol hanivdol mitumas elu hagerim, shnivdulu mitumas va'akum lehischaber el Yisrael lidroish laHashem kimoisam, to seek Hashem like the Jewish people. Again, this one approach. Other again, it refers to those that's referring only to the Jews who separated from their non-Jewish wives. It's very.
This was a question according to Rashi and Mitzudas. There was nothing wrong with this gerus.
Of course not. Why should there be anything wrong with the gerus?
They were told to leave them behind in Babel.
The gerus, which referring to non-Jews that converted.
That converted.
Correct. So there was a collection.
Told to leave them in Babel.
To leave who in Babel? No, not necessarily. Why were they told to stay in Babel? When they returned to Eretz Yisrael, 42,360, there were groups we learned in the previous psukim. There were other groups that were inspired.
They weren't told to leave.
No. This concept that we do not accept gerim is only the time of Mashiach. This was not the time of Mashiach. There was no prohibition for Jews. Jews were not at the level where they were viewed as controlling the world, where we would not be permitted to accept ger. There's a halacha that if there's any suspicion that a goy converts for insincere reasons, because he wants to enjoy the success, he wants to participate in the beauty of the wealth of the Jewish people, he's not accepted. So in the time of Mashiach, Chazal tell us, we will not accept gerim, doors closed, because then at that time the Jews will dominate, and anyone that wants to convert will be suspect that he's doing so for insincere reasons. So he's not, but here at this point in time, the Jews were still, they were still not viewed with the greatest esteem, therefore they were accepted. Okay, so we have over here this idea. I just want to put in the word Lidrash. Lidrash, Lashem L'Kesh, was a very beautiful expression. The only place you have this in Chumash is by Rivka. Vayelech Lidroish es Hashem. She had a child, a fetus, and when she passed the Beis Medrash, we don't exactly know what it was like to have Beis Medrash in those times, but a place that they served Hashem, the child, Mefarcheses Lotzes. When she passed the Beis Ovid Kechavim, Mefarcheses Lotzes. Im Kein Ma Maz, what did she say, Rivka? Ma, why was I mispalul for Heroyon when I have a child that's on the one hand pasech al shnei asifim, one who wants to go to the Beis Medrash, but also wants to go to the Zara? Vayelech lidroish es hashem. And who did she go to? She went to the Navi Shem. Shem was still alive at that point in time. It was very hard to understand how he could have lived such so many years, but the Chazal say it was him. And he was a Navi, and he told her, Shnei Goyim Bevidnech. So we see over here an idea of Lidroish LaHashem Elokei Yisrael is not just to seek, it's to seek advice, to seek understanding. She went, at least that's how it's used in Chumash, she went to seek understand, she went to a Talmud Chacham to tell her what's going to be, or how. Well, I don't really know. Dear Rashi says, what will be the end? What the end will be? Okay, I don't know. I just want to put in there is some connection, and it does require further insight to why here in this pasuk it was selected this unique expression of being Doresh Hashem. Pasuk Chof Beis. Vayasu Chag Hamatzoy Shivas Yomim B'Simcha. They now celebrated Chag Hamatzoy for 7 days B'Simcha. Ki Simchom Hashem. Hashem caused them to have simcha. Hashem brought upon them simcha. Simcham Hashem, this is an unusual word. Hashem brought about that they should rejoice. V'heisev lev melech Ashur aleihem. And Hashem directed. Hashem caused the heart of the king of Ashur to be turned aleihem, upon the Jewish people for their benefit. L'chazek yideihem. He strengthened their hands. He supported them. B'meleches space. Elokim, Elokei Yisrael, in the construction of the house of God, Elokei Yisrael. Okay, there are many things which need to be discussed. Let's see over here first. Rashi Pasuk Chav Beis, Veheisev Lev Melech Ashur Aleihem, VeHakadosh Baruch Hu, Hakadosh Baruch Hu, Heisev He turned Lev Melech Ashur Al Yisrael, Hayoshvim Bimem Shaltoi, BeEretz Ashur, LaHachazikam, to help them. So we're referring over here that the king of Ashur, he assisted the Jews that were living in Golos. I guess he made it very easy for them to travel. He provided for them transportation. He gave them money, lahachazikam, to strengthen them, ulesayeh, to assist b'melechas habinyan. Now the obvious kash, let's first in the Mitzudoske, melech Ashur, hu daryavesh. Now the Rashi doesn't say anything, but this is extremely bizarre. Melech Ashur, what are you talking about? Melech Ashur is long, long gone. He's been gone already for 150 years, 170 years. The last we heard of Melech Ashur was Sancheriv. After Sancheriv, he had a son. Sancheriv was killed by his son. Right, he wanted to offer his two sons as offerings, as human sacrifices to some idol, and his two sons killed him. And they appointed another son, took his place. And that's the last we ever heard of Melech Ashur. Then comes along Nebuchadnezzar, and he rises to power. He conquers Melech Ashur, conquers Nineveh, and then shortly thereafter he conquers Yehoyakim and starts the 70 years of the Malchus of Nebuchadnezzar. And after Nebuchadnezzar, the 70 years of the Malchus of Babel, to be more precise. And then after Nebuchadnezzar dies, Evel Meroidach, Balshetzar, then comes the Melech of Modai, Daryavish, then Achashverosh HaModai, and then comes Koresh, and then comes Achashverosh, and then Daryavish. Who in the world, what in the world we're dealing with over here when it says Melech Ashur? What's going on over here? They're building the Bayis Sheni, and there's a Melech Ashur. So Rashi does not say anything. The Mitzudah says, no, I'll tell you who he is. Who Daryavish? This is Daryavish ben Esther, Daryavish ben Achashverosh HaParsi, who is the son of Esther. He is also called Daryavish. Shemolach gam be'Ashur, he ruled over Ashur. Ashurhois lefonim roish l'chol hamamlochos ad bo Nebuchadnezzar, which controlled the entire world until the coming of Nebuchadnezzar. V'lokach hamalucha lebavel, and he took the malucha to Babel. He took Nebuchadnezzar, conquered Melech Ashur, and established his malchus in Babel, and lasted, that malchus lasted for 70 years. Then it went to Moda, went to Paras. So we're still connecting back to Asher. They are referring, the people are referring to Daryovish as the Melech of Ashur.
Like heir to it.
I guess so.
Like a third world power.
Ashur now became a third world power, but once it was the power of the world, and Daryovish took it over, and if the one that took it over was, the people referred to him, oh, this is the new Melech of Ashur. It's very interesting because we also call Daryovish the Melech of Bavel. If we go back to the beginning of the Perek, Perek Hey, he's called Melech Bavel. So we have here for this one person many names. Daryovish is called, in some, according to Chazal, in some places, Artach Shast. He's called Daryovish because Artachshast is the name of a title of the Persian kings. He's called also by his name Daryovish. He's also called Melech Bavel, the king of Bavel, because the Malchus of Paras took over the Malchus of Mordai, which took over the Malchus of Bavel. And here he's being called the Mal Melech of Ashur. So it's really interesting how there are so many different titles, names, where people related to one individual. Now it could very well be the reason why we are alluding to Melech Ashur is because the Golus really began with Melech Ashur. We think of the Churban, the Bayis Sheni, as the Golus of Bavel. It's true. Nebuchadnezzar destroyed the Beis Hamikdash. He exiled the Aseret Hashvat, he exiled Yehudah Binyamin. But in the big picture of things, the Golus already began in the Malchus of Ashur. It began with Sancheriv. Sancheriv exiled the Aseret Hashvatim. He destroyed, there was a Malchus. Klal Yisrael was divided into two parts. It was a Malchus of Yisrael and the Malchus of Yehuda. Now, even though the Malchus of Yehuda Yisrael, the way it divided was not very pleasant with Rechavam and Yeravam ben Nevad, who was Shleil Hashem Shemayim, but the Nevi'im, at a later point in time, did give legitimacy that we have to deal with the situation on the ground. It was not ideal, but this is the way it is. I once said a very bital mechacham, like, you know, this is a little bit controversial, like, not everyone is so hot and so excited about the state of Israel. Because the state of Israel is not necessarily run by people that are Shomer Torah Mitzvos, and the policies are not exactly
Derech HaTorah.
So a lot of you know, the when the state was first established, there was a very big debate, and it's still an ongoing debate, is how does a person who is true, who is 100% true, we're not talking about people that are not here and not there, but people who are really true to the Torah, how do they deal with the state? Do you vote in the elections? To what degree do you participate in the government? So I once heard from Rebbe Talmud Chacham, he says, it's a foolish thing. That whole debate is, could all be very true before there's a state. But once there's a state, this is it. Well, this is the situation. You have to work with what you have now. Of course,
participate, you don't get.
You have to participate. You have to participate. You have to. I mean, this is in the I think it's a very popular. Not necessarily for money. I don't. He's not part of those. We're not talking about. I'm talking about. Forget to put money aside. I know everything is about money. That's pasha.
The educational system.
But besides that, let's say you have a situation that has nothing to do with money. It's just a matter of being a participant in. It's a foolish thing. Should there be a state? Should there not be a state? There is a state. Zehu. This is the way it is. And the proof is, look at Jewish history. Eretz Yisrael. You have the Malchus of Yisrael and the Malchus of Yehuda. The Malchus of Yisrael started out as an illegitimate rebellion. Yeravam ben Nevat decided, we're not going to be loyal to Rechavam. We're not going to be loyal to the son of Shlomo HaMelech. He made his own Malchus. He set up idols, mamish idols, Egle Zof, in Basel and Don, and they worshipped the idols. It was a terrible tragedy. But yet the Nevi'im, the prophets, Achia HaShiloni, and they went and they anointed, they actually went to anoint and appoint new kings in the Malchus of Yisrael. So here you have a malchus that was 100% established shaloi kederach haTorah, 100%, all based on being married by Malchus, all with the principle of Avodah Zarah, and yet the Nevi'im, mi gadolanu mi ha-Nevi'im, that are coming and participating in assisting and anointing and telling from HaKadosh Baruch Hu who should be the next melech of the Aseres HaShvatim. So Kol Shekhin v'Kol Shekhin, we're living in Galus. Over here you have a Medina, Eretz Yisrael. Okay, not everything is Alderech HaTorah. You're dealing over here now, mom, not, you can't say everyone is Lahachis. So most 99% of what is happening for people that are just not educated. They did not have an opportunity. Tinik Shanishba, not saying there are people that are mamash lahachis. You have to know all the details. But alachas kam v'kama, how much you have an obligation not to ignore, to turn aside. You have to be machshav what you have and participate in every way possible in what you have. This is a very popular, very safe, very popular approach to for charedim dealing with Eretz. And you see a lot of the, even the Bells. As far as I know, Bells is very much a very big supporter of the Medina and the hashkafa wise. And all the other groups, the major groups, are very similar also, very similar. Because of this is a very popular hashkafa. And you see, I think, so now with that in mind, you have to go back to this pasuk of Melech Ashur. The Golus of Klal Yisrael began with the Aseres HaShvatim. There was a Malchus of Yisrael. The Malchus of Yisrael was a major chunk of Klal Yisrael. 10 Shvatim. There were kings. Nevi'im participated in appointing these kings, even though it started out on a bad note. And Melech Ashur, Sancheriv, exiled these Shvatim. They destroyed their capital. Shomron was the Yerushalayim of the Malchus of Yisrael. It was destroyed, wiped out by Melech Ashur. Now there is a renaissance. They're returning. Klal Yisrael is returning. When we describe the shleimus of the return, we reminisce and we go back to the haschala of the Churban. We unfortunately only focus on Nebuchadnezzar, because Nebuchadnezzar, he was the one that did the Makkeh B'Patish. He destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. He exiled the last two Shvatim, but it really began with Melech Ashur. Now we have a new king, Daryavesh, who is the king of Paras, but he has inherited the Malchus of not only Bavel, not only Modai, but also of Ashur. So here we come really down to the last pasuk. It's come out, we're up to over here, we're up to the last pasuk of Perek Vav, where the return, the geula of the Bayis Sheni is complete. And the way the pasuk emphasized the geula is with the Karban Pesach and Chag HaMatzos, because just like in Klal Yisrael was established for the first time, it was established through Parshas Bo and Parshas Beshalach, it was established through the Yom Tif of Pesach, Chag HaPesach and Chag HaMatzos. Now when Klal Yisrael is offering here the Karban Pesach and celebrating Chag HaMatzos, this now represents the Shleimus of the Geula that's going to occur at this Kufa of Ezra, with the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash, with the inauguration of the rededication of the Beis HaMikdash, and now the first public offering of the Karban Pesach and observance of Chag HaMatzos. The Geula is complete. Now, when we look back, now we can reminisce. How did this whole thing happen? It all started in the time of Melech Ashur. So now, when we look at Daryavesh, we can say he's also Melech Ashur, because he was the one that we're going to refer to him, because it's a complete cycle. And that's why we're mentioning here the king of Ashur. Pasuk HaBeis Melech Ashur, Hu Daryavesh Melech Al Gabi Ashur, Asher Chayisu Lufonim, Reish Luchal Amam Mamlochus, Adbun Nuvanetz, Vecham Luchem Bavokin, Aleihem, Letoiv Aleihem, Pasuk Chof Beis, the last Pasuk of Perek Vav, in the Mitzudos, Lechazek, He provided money. Money. Everything is money. If you provide the money, put your dollar, nothing changed. And he provided assistance. He paid for the Iron Dome. You know, someone was telling me about Bush. Bush did not, this last war, Baruch Hashem, was completely different for one reason only, as you all read in the newspaper, because the Iron Dome. The Iron Dome completely changed everything. Who paid for the Iron Dome?
The
United States. Which president paid for it?
Obama.
Do you know that they begged the United States to pay for the Iron Dome about 4 years ago for the technology? And it was presented to Bush, George W. Bush, and he said no. So the whole world is crying that Obama, Ochen Vey, was stuck now with an Obama. Obama is the worst president for the Jews. If only we had Bush. Once again, he was an Ohev Yisrael. If you can say that, do you really know what's good? Do we really know what's good? Look, the Iron Dome, Bush did not want to pay for it. Obama paid for it. And because he paid for it, everything is different. So do we really know what's good for us? We don't. I mean, you vote for who you think is good. But you look back in hindsight, what would have been had we had not had the Iron Dome? It would have been a mamish, another, who knows what. There could have been a ground war. There could have been so many people that could have died. We don't know what would have been. But everything is different now. The whole attitude has changed. Who to give credit? Bush. I mean Obama. Obama. So you don't really know what is good. Here, he provided money to protect the Jewish people from their enemies, which is not something that is to be taken lightly. And therefore they were able to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash in this very delicate time. They were able to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, now we go to Pasuk.
What Pasuk is that related to?
That's Pasuk Chav Beis. We're now up to the next parak.
What's the, where it says, Ki Samcham Hashem? We know it says, V'samachta V'chagecha.
Right.
We always ask, how can Hashem demand
Simcha? Simcha means
internal.
No, Enochna, but sometimes, like in the Shparach, he creates an environment where you're happy. He creates the environment where everything is going in your favor, and you're able to properly rejoice. So, like we all know, you have a simcha. Everything goes wrong. Okay, the food's no good. It's cold outside. It's raining. There's a storm. Everything that can go wrong, but it's the most wonderful event. We've been waiting for this simcha for years, and you come to the simcha. Just doesn't go. And sometimes you go to an event where, I'm not interested, what a waste of time to go and take off from work to go to this. And you come there and you're so uplifted. You remember your entire life. There are many factors, many variables which go into every event which can make it or break it. And here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he saw to it that every single thing was perfect so that the Jewish people would be able to properly rejoice in the rededication of the Beis HaMikdash. Ki Simcham Hashem, Hashem caused them to have simcha. It means to cause. It's the hifl form. Hashem caused them to have simcha by setting up an environment which would be perfect for joy. And he directed, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, just like Hashem, Vayichabed Hashem et Slav Paro, Hashem, if he wants, can harden the heart of a world leader. Hashem here turned, he directed the heart of Daryavish, who now we're looking back as the king, which goes all the way back to reminisce of the entire world history, that he should do everything within his power to see to it that the Jewish people are safe and secure and peaceful in their homeland when they rededicate their Beis HaMikdash. We are now up to Perek Zayin. Okay, Pasuk Aleph, Perek Zayin, new Perek. Yeah.
Can you darsh in anything? The Pasuk Chaf Aleph.
Yes.
It would be very good to say, Lidrosh Hashem. Why Lashem?
Lidrosh Lashem. Vayelech Lidrosh. Right. Lidrosh. What about the Pasuk by Rivka? Vayelech Lidrosh. S Hashem. So why does it say the word S? It doesn't say Lidrosh La Hashem. Lidrosh S Hashem. I don't know the answer. I really don't know the answer. Yeah. So there is a deeper meaning. What exactly were these people coming to do? Now you have to first understand who are these people. According to Rashi and the Mitzudos, these are Gerim. These are converts. So when a convert comes, Lidrosh Hashem, Lidrosh La Hashem, you're right, that's important. You're coming close. You're not yet here. The Gemara says you're not yet. You're on your way. You're on the way. L'chay L'Olam Haba. On the way, we don't really know what Olam Haba is. That's why the Lamed represents Olam Haba, not the Ayin. Because the best that we can do is, the Lamed represents to go towards it. So in a chnami, a ger really does not know what he's getting involved in. He's converting, he is sincere, but he really has no hasag of what it's all about until he experiences. So then it would fit very well. La Hashem, they're on the way to come close to Hashem. But if you were to learn that we're referring to full-fledged Jews who intermarried, and now when the pasuk says they separated from their contamination, means they divorced their non-Jewish wives, and now they're coming to seek Hashem. It's a process of tshuva. Process of tshuva, you're coming back. Chayzer b'shuva. You know what it's all about. You've experienced it already. It's just a matter of returning. Then the lamed has a whole different meaning. The lamed doesn't mean you're coming to something that you're not aware of. You're coming to something that you know from. I don't know. So it all depends on who are these people and what are they trying to accomplish by separating from the... I don't know the answer, but it's a very good point. The Lamed, in contrast to Rivka, Es Hashem. Okay, now we come to Perek Zayin. Now, for the very first time, we are introduced to Ezra HaSoifer. Ezra did not come, let's see, possibly Achar HaDvarim, after these Dvarim, so like in the Megillah. Achar hadvarim ho'ele. Now, what are the dvarim? So, which dvarim? So, right, we'll jump into Rashi. Shel binyan habayis. Rashi focuses specifically after the construction of the Beis Hamikdash, and in the mitzvah sem kelois habinyan, the conclusion of the binyan. B'malchus, back to the pasuk. B'malchus artach shasta. Notice, see, we have a sudden change. Instead of a sin, maybe it's because this is Hebrew. Well, every time we had sulfur artach sasta, it was in Aramaic. So in Aramaic it's spelled with a sin, and in Hebrew it's spelled with a samach. Now even Daniel, I have to find this for you. This is very intriguing, and I always was taught that it's Daniel. How do we say Daniel? What? Daniel, the Yud, right? Go back to Sefer Daniel. That's a very unusual way. I mean, that's not the way Daniel in English is not working with the translation of Daniel, right? It's first of all, it's a Daniel. So how does the average yeshiva guy say? Daniel.
Daniel.
They put the emphasis on the... on the Aleph, then that was the Nun, Doniel, on the Aleph, Doniel. But that's wrong.
They skipped the Yud.
So if you go back.
Here the Aleph is.
So let me just go back to the beginning of Sefer Doniel. I want to just bring out this point with regard to Artach Sasta to show you something very interesting. Here it is. Okay, I'm going back to Sefer Doniel. Okay, Pasik Perik Aleph Pasik Zayin. The first time his name is mentioned. Vayosem Lochem Sar Hasari Sim Shemos. Vayosem Lidoniel. Okay, Doniel. The emphasis is on the Yud.
And the is under the Yud.
The tzer is under the Yud Daniel. Exactly. So the correct way, so you will hear people very medactikin, people who know Hebrew language and say every word in the right way, they'll always say do, they'll first say comments, do, not do, Daniel. They'll say it, and it sounds funny, right? Because that's not the way most of the yeshiva guys talk. Daniel. Okay, so a lot of things we do not do correctly. Big deal. It's Leah. It's not Rochel, it's Rochel.
Right.
It's not Baruch, it's Baruch.
Right.
Baruch. So the Israelis, they speak everything Mila'el, but not everything about modern Hebrew is in agreement with biblical Hebrew. And then you have the primary reason why most of us are all mixed up is because most of us come from parents and grandparents that spoke a fluent Yiddish. And in Yiddish, there is no such thing as Mila'el. Every single thing is Mila'ra. The Moshe. Every single thing, the emphasis is on the first syllable. B'li yoytzim in aklal. Anytime that you'll find yoytzim in aklal, that's a suffix or a prefix. Then maybe you'll find some exception, but it's not from the Iker word. And therefore, when you start intermixing Yiddish with Hebrew, the Hebrew becomes corrupt, and you start pronouncing the Hebrew Mila El, and that's why the Sardim, they say, and they gave up already, and Adarab, they gave up already, Ad Kedei Kach, that it's not Ma'akev, even when you're lame. So that became the new Hebrew. The new Hebrew is to say everything Mila El. Moshe, instead of Moshe. So that's but the truth is like Shabbos. It's not Shabbos, it's Shabbos. But in Yiddish, it's Shabbos. Because Shabbos in Yiddish is like Sabbath in English. Okay, what do I show now? Daniel. So you'll say, big deal. Anyway, everything is corrupt. So Daniel's also corrupt. So we say Daniel. However, I found in a Sefer, I don't know where the pasuk is, that in Yirmiyah, in Sefer Yirmiyah, which is all written in Lashon Kodesh, not in Aramaic, there is the only place where it's Daniel. Not Daniel. That the Tzere is under the Aleph. And from that, I think Rav David Cohen makes, if I'm not mistaken, Rav David Cohen, I have to find this, I have to go search, I think somewhere, I think I know where to search. He says, so what do you learn from this? That Daniel is Aramaic. But Daniel, like the way we say, the way the Yeshiva's way of saying it, is Hebrew. And the proof is, that's how, the way it is spelled in Sefer Yirmiyah. Now you see, now you'll tell me, but that won't argue, that's not true, because there's no, when it comes to a name, there's no difference, maybe when it comes to words, no, so there are different types of words, you know, the language is different between Aramaic and Hebrew. In Aramaic, most words end with an aleph, in Hebrew, the most words end with a hey, and then of course you interchange letters, but when it comes to a name, you'll tell me, no, you can't play around with name, a name is a name, it does make a difference which language you are referring to this person, whether it's Hebrew or Aramaic. But you see that right here, now for the very first time we're learning about Artach Shasta, and here in this pasuk it's not spelled with a sin, it's spelled with a samach. So you see a proof that even when you're dealing with a name, and a name is exactly the same thing as, it should be exactly the same thing in every single language, no. When you switch languages, the name becomes a little bit different. Now we don't distinguish between a samach and a sin, but there is a difference. It's not the same. There's a slight difference in Havara. There will not be two different, there will not be two letters that are exactly the same, a sin and a samach. Okay, we're not makbid on this today. We've lost the art of speaking, pronouncing words properly. But look at this. It's the same person. Here he's not called Artach Shast, but here he's called Artach Shast with a samach. Oh, a name is a name. What difference does it make if your name is Reuven? It doesn't make a difference if you've been called Reuven in Aramaic, you've been called Reuven in Hebrew or in Persian, or a name is a name. You see there is a difference. Likewise, Daniel. In Aramaic, it's Daniel. But in Hebrew, it's... In Aramaic, it's Daniel under the Yud. Daniel. Daniel, but in Hebrew it's Daniel, and the proof is in Sefer Yirmiyah.
I can raise two objections.
Okay.
First of all, in Capital Aleph, Pasuk Zayin, that's Hebrew.
Capital Aleph, Pasuk
Zayin.
Ah, you got me.
Even in Aramaic, it's in Hebrew.
Pasuk Vamelch Koresh. Hoitzi is Klavius Hashem Asher. Hoitzi Nebuchadnezzar Yishlam. Vidne Biyad Bezgav. Wait. We have to Ezra Perek.
No, Daniel.
Oh, Daniel.
Aleph Zayin.
Aleph Zayin. Okay, so I think of Dava Kohn. He says this idea, Hebrew, he says this, I'm not making this up, Hebrew. It could be that since the vast majority of Daniel is in Aramaic, it's true that the beginning starts off, the Perek Aleph Daniel starts off, but the whole Sefer is about him. It's about,
you've got to kvetch a little bit.
Okay. Okay.
I can say
that's about
what Gigi talking about.
Shasta.
Yeah.
I can say that's like Pharaoh. It's not his actual given name.
But here it's in Hebrew. Here we're now in Hebrew, and we're referring to the title.
Yeah, but you're making a point that on the name,
yeah,
the given name, so to speak.
Yeah.
That's where the change happens.
So saying, a title is the same thing. A title is, assuming, is the same thing as a name, like a para, avimelech. It's not a word which has a translation, which you translate in one language in this method, and in another language you translate, it's a title. A title is very, it's etched in stone. There's no room to waver.
I think the point that I'm making, that little point, But I think that the point you made that is in a given name, in a real name.
Okay.
That's where the change between the Hebrew
and Aramaic.
And this could be a title.
A title. So he's saying a title is not, all right, I hear your objections. I accept your objections, but there is something to work with. We have to think about it. It's an idea.
You know why
it's an idea? Yeah.
It says Ashtash to stuff. Melech Poras. The title is Melech.
Oh, so that could be
the real name.
Okay.
Let's see. Let's read a few psukim. So, the king of Poros. Ezra, here is his name. We're going to trace his lineage. Ezra ben Siroyah, ben Azariah, ben Chilkiah, ben Shalom, ben Tzadok, ben Achitov, ben Amariah, ben Azariah, ben Miroyos, ben Zerachiah, ben Uzi, ben Buki, ben Avishua, ben Pinchas, ben Elazar, ben Aharon HaKohen Horosh, the first Kohen. That was a Rosh, going back on Ezra. I think there's two different interpretations. It's the word Horosh, going back on Aaron HaKohen, he was the Rosh, he was the first Rosh. Or some learn that HaRosh means that Ezra was the Rosh. The word Rosh is going back on the first, beginning of Pasuk Aleph. Ezra, he was the Rosh. He was the chief, he was the most respected Kohen in Klal Yisrael. And that brings, that leads into the question, why then was he not appointed the Kohen Gadol? And the answer is because he arrived late. He came to the Beis HaMikdash already 4 or 5 years after it already was completed. And we're going to discuss in more detail. Ezra did not go up with, we'll read all this inside, but basically Ezra did not go up with the Goyle, with the 42,360 people when Koresh gave permission, and he did not go later, 14 years later, when permission was given once again to resume the construction, because he was a student of Baruch ben Neriah. Baruch ben Neriah was the Goyle Hadar. He was a student of Yirmiyah Hanavi, and he possessed the true Mesorah dating back from Moshe Rabbeinu, all the Talmidei Chacham and all of the Nevi'im going back to Moshe. He was a link in this chain.
What's his name?
Baruch ben Neriah, and he was over 100 years old, Chazal tell us. And he was extremely delicate, and it was impossible for him to travel from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael. And his close Talmidim did not leave him. They were not willing to abandon their Rebbe. You just can't abandon your Rebbe. The Rebbe can't make it. Even though they were probably chalashing to be part of this Beis HaMikdash. And had Ezra, Chazal tell us, had Ezra gone to the Beis HaMikdash, he would have been appointed the Kohen Gadol. But he can't leave his Rebbe. It's impossible. You can't just abandon your Rebbe. Especially the Rebbe, he felt, is a greater treasure for Klal Yisrael than the Beis HaMikdash. The Rebbe is the living Torah. You're not going to abandon the Rebbe. He chose not to leave. He stayed until he died. And he died shortly after the Beis HaMikdash was complete, and now he went to Eretz Yisrael. Chazal learned from this many things. One thing is, it's more important to learn Torah than it is to build the Beis HaMikdash. Because if it was more important to build the Beis HaMikdash, he would have went and abandoned his Rebbe to build the Beis HaMikdash.
No, but he might have thought that it could be built by other people.
The Acherim, but they needed him, because it appears that he was Chazal make this, they say this, so it could be that he was needed.
He was the Mesorah man.
Because he was the Gadol Hadar, and there were many questions which came up. They had Nevi'im, they had Chagai and Zechariah, but when you have big questions, you go to the top. You don't go to the, you need to go to a doctor, you go to the best. You don't go to middle level people. You don't ask the fellow, the resident. You go to the top. So, go to Dr. Friedman. You go to the best, and therefore he did not. Now, here we have his yichus. Ezra was very much in, the reason why we miyaches is because Ezra was very much into yichus. He was miyaches every single member of Klal Yisrael. Ad k'dei kach, Chazal Masechta, I think, Masechta Kedushin, at the end of Masechta Kedushin, that's our yichusin, Olam Mibavel. Bavel, the yichus of the people in Bavel were better than the people in Eretz Yisrael. How could that be? It's a very bizarre situation. When Ezra left, Ezra said, what's going to be here? If I'm going to leave, I'm leaving here Bavel. Bavel, they probably only a very small percent of the Jewish people went to Eretz Yisrael. They only went, only 42,000. I think it's like 5%. They said the numbers are the same as the population of Jewish people in 1948. Same proportion, same percentage of the Jewish population that made Aliyah in 1948 to rebuild the state of Israel was equal to the number of people who ascended to Eretz Yisrael at the time of Koresh gave permission. Ezra said, what's going to be? If I'm going to go to Eretz Yisrael and build a Beis HaMikdash now, I'm going to leave them behind. It's Hafkeres here. There's intermarriage. There are people that are Mamzerim. They're in a Sinin. It's going to get way out of hand. And the Yichus of Klal Yisrael will be permanently damaged. So the only solution is, I will identify every single member of Klal Yisrael and all of the troublemakers, all of the people whose yichus is questionable, they're coming with me. He forced them to come with him to Eretz Yisrael, and he only left behind in Bavel people with the purest lineage, so that there would be no trouble. He cleaned out all of the people with impure lineage. He took them to Eretz Yisrael so he can keep his eye on them and make sure no one marries them, or they only marry among their own, and they don't spread the damage. They don't contaminate the rest of Klal Yisrael. And above all, we'll leave behind only people that are 100% pure, and they'll be okay. And therefore, Chazal tell us that if a person lives in Eretz Yisrael, and then he came to Eretz Yisrael, and Eretz Yisrael, there were a lot of people that were not 100% miyuchasim because of what Ezra did, he forced them to come. And of course, Ezra couldn't control them 100%, and they began to marry among each other. So Gemara says that the people living in Bavel have better yichus than the people living in Eretz Yisrael. Because the people living in Bavel he only left over the best of the best.
So why was he more interested in having a better...
Because that was just a situation, because Ezra cannot keep his... There was no one left... There was no great person of his stature to watch them. So he had no choice but to take them with him. You have a troublemaker, you're coming with me. Yeah.
Seems to be, I'm not sure how sure I am, but generally speaking, lower level people tend to migrate.
Lower level people tend to, because they don't feel secure. Okay, that's an interesting idea. But he took them, it's a Gemara Masechta Kedushin, he took these people with him because he can keep his eye on them. And the result was something very strange, that in Bavel you have the better yichus. The Gemara says Bavel yichus, it's like fine flour. Eretz Yisrael, it's not such total wheat flour. It's not the best flour. Their impurities mixed in. But Bavel, only miyuchasim, because Ezra was miyachis. And therefore, just like Ezra was miyachis, other people, it takes one to know one. Because Ezra can trace his yichus all the way back to Aaron HaKohen. He was a Kohen. And in fact, in Nehemiah, we're going to have Nehemiah not so far ahead, down the road, there again his yichus is traced, and there are even more names. I think there are even 8 more names. This is not his complete yichus. We skip a couple of generations.
Not Nehemiah,
Ezra. In the Sefer Nehemiah, Ezra's yichus again is traced, and there are more generations. There are more, so it's not clear why. I don't know why in Sefer Ezra we leave out a few of the generations which are included in Sefer Nechem. Okay, let us finish up these psukim. We'll stop. Let's see over which Rashi. These psukim of the Rosh Pasa Aleph through Hey Aleph. The Achar, Rashi, Achar Demir Achar Shalbin Abayis, Ar Tach Shasta, Hu Dar Yovesh, He is Dar Yovesh. Pasuk that said no more rash. Let's see the mitzvahs. Pasuk Aleph Yachar Achaklos Abinyan Bemalchus Rotzlema Hoya Bemalchus Ezra Omru Rabbo Seinu Zichron Levachshu Malache. I'm reading the mitzvahs. Pasuk Aleph. He is Malache. Okay, we have Chagai, Zecharia, Umalachi. A set. They're always part of this trial, this team.
Pasuk Aleph.
No, in Ezra. Ezra, Perek Zayin, Pasuk Aleph.
Ezra?
So we have here this person, he'll show you. We have here, Chazal said, we have Chagai, Zechariah, Umalochi. So we've learned that who was the one who inspired the Jewish people of this time, 14 years later, to rebuild, to continue, resume the construction. Chagai and Zechariah. What happened to Malachi? He's part of the trial. Here he is, Ezra. Now, finally, we come to Ezra. Amar Rabbi Zinzal, Malachi, the Yichasu, Zichus, his lineage is traced back ad Ahara in Ulekatzer, because already it's getting late. Yeah. It's late already. Ulekatzer dola kama doros bimasha shachoshev bedivrei hayamim. Okay, I thought it was the chemia. Bedivrei hayamim. There are eight more.
Right.
Eight more.
16.
Only you have to count 16. You counted 16. Wow. Now it says here koyin haroish. Rishon la lehakayim. Aroin was the first of the kohanim, but the other mafarshim, if I'm not mistaken, learned that the word haroish refers to Ezra. Okay, let me read you over here just some midrashim. Just one. First of Ezra ben Shoya ben Azariah ben Chilkiah. So over here I'm reading you a medrash. Omar Loma Hiskir, it's a Gemara, Baba Basra. The Gemara says, why did we trace the lineage of Ezra? Omar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, Loi Ola Ezra Bibavalad Sheyiches Atzmoi, because it's alluding to something very deep. Ezra, what gives me the right to inspect your lineage? He had everyone line up. I don't know how he did this. Dealing with probably millions of people. He must have had a massive staff to do this. Every single person, Zichus, no computers, no modern technology, but every single person, Zichus, had to be traced. Who are you? What's your father? Your grandfather? You're dealing over here, 60, we're dealing over here almost 20 more, but back to the time of the Shvatin. You're dealing over here with more than 25 generations almost. 25 generations. You know how much time has passed? We're dealing over here 1,200 years. 800, but then plus the bias, they built the bias, so 800 years, probably, right, over 800 years, correct. 480 years. And then another 410 years. So you're dealing over with 800 years, you're dealing with over 25 generations. How in the world did he do this? So they say to him, who are you? Who are you to trace my yichus? Who's your yichus? Right? That's the first thing you say to a person. You want to go look in the mirror. So, okay, here's my yichus. I'll show you my yichus. I'm reading a medrash. You don't have this in front of you. You don't have this.
I'm reading
something now. You don't have this. So le'ola Ezra mibavel ad sheyiches atzmoi va'ola umon aske, and who brought him up? He went up together. The Gemara there says he went up together with Nehemiah ben Chakalke, ben Aaron Akoyen. Now why are we tracing another medrash? Why are we tracing here his yichus? So v'lo machazav yamahu Ezra. Why does the pasuk this is really going into pasuk vav. So we'll leave that for tomorrow. Okay, that medrash ties into the next pasuk. Okay, so we'll stop over here for now.